Realtors. Rick Smith.
The rich pay too much taxes. The poor get way too much. Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
Yes, God is a Republican, and he wants to take food out of the mouths of children. He wants to kick Granny out of the nursing home, steal her Social Security. Yeah, those are such good Christian values. And again, you look at the budget that Trump put out this week, what I've been saying, look, a moral document. This is a list of the Christian principles of our president and the policies that he wants to put forth. It's scary, scary stuff. But here to talk about what's going on, not just with the budget, but with, wow, the Manafort, the Mueller, the rebuke in the Senate, just the 420 in the House, all of the fun and entertainment. Oh yeah. And Trump threatening the country with violence of, you know, military and the police and bikers for Trump, you know, whipping out their big guns and shooting us all in the streets. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story, to come give us some thoughts. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, how are you?
Still alive. I haven't been shot yet.
Yet. And I go back to D.C. tomorrow, so once I get into my apartment, you know, I feel a lot safer because they've got at least a couple of floors before they get to me. So,
you know, I'm looking at this. And again, did you see the interview with Breitbart yesterday? Things are going to be very, very bad, Sarah.
I don't understand it. I mean, I feel like he just keeps making stuff up, that everybody just keeps making stuff up, that, you know, if you don't do whatever Trump and his cadre of people say, then they're going to start, you know, killing everybody and putting everybody in camps and, you know, taking kids and putting them to re-education things where they color pictures of Donald Trump, and Lord help us all.
Now, if they do that, will there be orange crayons available?
I mean, there should be several shades of orange. There's golf Trump.
Okay.
And then there's winter Trump, which is an entirely different orange, but yeah.
So do you think he does the tanning better, or is he like John Boehner and does the spray paint?
You know, I wonder if he does the tanning bed, because if you notice,
the
first lady is awful tan as well. So I don't know. I didn't know that there was a tanning bed in the White House, but hey, maybe that's something new.
You know, maybe it's down there with the bowling alley that he's not using. Who knows? Let's get to the big news of the day. Look, 420 Democrats, 420 Democrats, Republicans, Independents, the entire House of Representatives unanimously voted to say there's not a national emergency down on the border. And of course, Trump says he's going to veto it. Thoughts?
That is wonderful. How exciting. Like, truly, Donald Trump has managed to bring the country together against him. So, surprise! I feel like this is one of those things where we've managed to not only bring people together, but I think that's really going to help the lawsuit. You know, there are something like 30 states now that are suing because of the national emergency thing. So the fact that both parties really came together, except for senators, obviously, who are running for re-election. I think that'll bode well for us whenever it comes to the lawsuit.
I'm really hoping. I'm hoping there's something, because, you know, I look at this threat of violence today, and I'm going, you know, he's been calling for this for a very long time. Every rally, you know, he kind of throws that out there. He's trying to whip everybody up to get all bunched up in the panties. And, you know, one of these days, you know, something's more is going to pop. I mean, it's not enough that you go shoot a bunch of reporters in a place. They're going shooting up synagogues and shooting up churches and all the craziness, driving cars into people. So, you know, I don't know how much worse it can get.
And sending bombs to CNN and various other people that are on Trump's list. I don't know how much worse it can get. The only thing that I can think is that they're, you know, somehow a crazy Trump supporter manages to make their way into MSNBC or CNN and starts shooting people. There's a lot of security in those buildings. Like, you have to get waved in to be able to go beyond, you know, the security gates.
Right.
So I would hope that, you know, that would stop them, but I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody could jump the gates. They could shoot everybody in the lobby. They could stand outside and start open firing. I mean, this is really scary. And I would hope that, you know, we wouldn't have a president who would do something like this, but welcome to America.
And if they weren't thinking it before, congratulations, you just gave them the idea.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that's wow. Now, thanks to Lindsey Graham, the Senate isn't going to vote on something that the House voted unanimously to move forward. And even if the Senate does vote on it, Trump has said he's going to veto it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's one of those weird things where Lindsey Graham is running for re-election. And before he became BFFs with Trump, his approval ratings with his own party were not great. I want to say they were below 50, maybe like in the upper 30s, low 40s. After he became BFFs with Trump, his approval from Republicans are like in the stratosphere now. So he's got at least a little bit of wiggle room to do the right thing, but I don't think he's going to do it, because the second that he does, you know, Donald Trump is going to cut him off, and that's the end of Lindsey Graham.
But the thing that gets me is Trump saying that he wants to veto it in front of the cameras. He wants America to see him do it. And I'm going, yeah, you're probably one of your biggest failures, not being able to keep your party in line.
This is going to be like a big old, you know, pretty party. And White House aides were saying this afternoon that they were scrambling to try and figure out how they could get it done, because he really wants to do it tomorrow. So I'm on a plane tomorrow. Have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, you know, it's been such a crazy day today that you have, you know, the 420 people saying that they want the Mueller report released and the public should see it. Now, obviously, Lindsey Graham held that up in the Senate. The Senate isn't going to vote on that. And then there's the other vote against the national emergency, where 12 Republicans joined all the Democrats and independents to basically slap Trump across the backside.
Yeah, and the only people who did not vote against or for it, the only people that didn't vote for the bill, of the 20 Republicans that are running for re-election, 19 of them voted for Trump, voted on Trump's side. They voted no. So, I mean, obviously we know why they're voting that way.
Right.
Thom Tillis was one of the worst ones. He'd spent, what was it, like a week talking about how awful this was and how, you know, the idea of constitutional conservatism and he doesn't want to expand the powers. And then all of a sudden, the last minute, he flips. And I think that's because he was getting threats for being primaried. And, you know, I wrote that up today where I think Mark Meadows was one of the people that were looking at it. And, oh, man, what a wimp. What a weenie.
What a weenie. Let's move along. As I said earlier in talking with our friend Sarah Kendzior, the most important story of the week by far. America is just riveted by the cheating scandal that we see in colleges and universities across the country. As surprise, rich people are buying their kids into elite schools. Literally shocked. Who could have possibly thought that is even in the realm of possibility?
Who knew? Oh my gosh. People were manipulating the system because they had the money to do so. Is anybody surprised? I think the interesting thing about it is that a lot of these people were spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, and they could have just given that as a donation to the school and gotten in as a legacy, you know, as a legacy student. But I guess they didn't, you know, their parents didn't know any better.
Well, they were trying to, you know, prop up their child's self-esteem by making them think that they earned those athletic scholarships by not even playing the sport.
My favorite thing about all of this has been looking at some of the students that got in. One of the stories we did last night was about the weird stoner kid who was smoking a doobie outside of his apartment building in New York, talking about like, man, people gotta like go to college, you know, let them go to school. Like somehow this is, this is determining whether somebody, you know, can go to college or not. It's like, no, idiot. This is the difference between somebody going to UCLA and USC. And Lori Loughlin's daughter, I'm fascinated by her.
Yeah, I've been watching, you know, and again, this is one of those things where it's a train wreck and you just have to watch. You know, it was kind of like the, you know, watching Paris Hilton a number of years ago, or yeah. What was the other one? Lionel Richie's daughter and the other one that
Nicole Richie.
There you go. And there are a bunch of them that are just train wrecks. And, you know, and the kind of Will Smith's daughters and son and daughter are another one that are just completely off the, you know, off the beaten path. And you go, you know, what kind of self, you know, kind of entitled lives did you lead, let these kids lead? That the one girl that you were talking about, her, this Olivia Jade, I guess her name is, who said, I don't really want to go to college, even though my parents are going to go to jail to get me in here. I just want to party and go to games.
And the most jacked up thing out of all of this is that when she found out that her mother got arrested, she was on a yacht of like one of the USC regents at the time. And it's like, oh my God, like how corrupt are you? Right? Like if this was a member of Congress, they'd be gone. Yeah. They'd be out of office.
You hope.
I'm speechless. I am so angry about all of this. The thing that I love more than anything has been the class action lawsuit that was announced with a bunch of students that that tried to get in. There was one girl who tried to get into USC, who had incredible grades, incredible SAT scores. She had all kinds of sports accolades and all of this stuff, and couldn't get into USC, so she went to Stanford instead.
Oh, that's worse.
And I'm like, dude, do you not know what USC is? It's a party school. You don't really learn anything there. Trust me, your degree from Stanford is going to get you a lot further along. But, you know.
No, but you know, again, it comes back down to it's the networking that comes into this. Because you look at, you know, I've been using George Bush as the example. He couldn't get into the University of Texas. But somehow, because, you know, legacy, he got into the Yale and Harvard. You go, how did that happen?
This is the difference, I think, between state schools and private universities. I wonder if there are any standards, are there any regulations for private universities? If these are people who, you know, are not regulated by the state, they're not getting funding from states and from the federal government. Do they have any obligation to, you know, be a legitimate operation? No. And I don't know the answer to that.
It's a good question. I mean, because, you know, some of the Ivy League schools recently, you've got Asians who are complaining that we're being discriminated against because we're smart, because yeah. The meritocracy, because we got good test scores and we got good grades, but they don't want us, the schools, to look too Asian.
And I love the fact that there are so many people that are complaining about, you know, the equal opportunity and the, you know, saying that we need to give opportunities to people of different races. The thing that about Ivy Leagues is that really benefits white people more than it does anybody else. Folks are forgetting that, you know, there are a whole lot of people that are a heck of a lot smarter that come from really difficult backgrounds who can qualify for all kinds of stuff. And a lot of these entitled little white brats, you know, they don't really have that much other than mommy and daddy's money. So, surprise, you know, you might have to go to community college for a couple of years before you schlep over to Harvard.
Yeah, I could see this Olivia Jade going to a community college. Oh, yeah, I could see that.
I don't even get why she's going to college. She has her own makeup line. She's making money off of her YouTube videos. She's clearly not there to learn anything. So why? Why even bother?
It's all about the connections. It's just a big social circle. And I'd been told that a number of times over the years that, you know, the Ivy League schools are more about the networking and the connections than you make than the education.
Yeah, somebody today called it a finishing school for investment bankers.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, but, you know, as I saw this thing break, I'm going, why is anyone surprised?
Right.
The game has been rigged for so long that why does this? Because it's a couple of Hollywood actors that maybe we watched on TV and somehow thought were decent people, that this now is a scandal.
Right. That's the big thing. It's like the woman who was on the Hallmark movies. You know, we thought she was so nice. She seemed so sweet on Full House. No, it turns out she's a scam artist, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and William H. Macy, really? Dude.
I know, right? That's really sad. I mean, he's on Shameless. You'd think he'd know better.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, it is what it is. Let's move along. I hope they all go to jail, which they won't.
Yeah.
I hope they all get fined hugely, which probably they will, but it won't matter. So it'll be a slap on the wrist, and the kids will probably still be in school. Because what I want to see is all of them now thrown out. I want that to be a black mark on their record forever. That should be the penalty.
And that was the one thing that I saw a couple of California outlets were talking about. USC is actually thinking about whether or not they're going to kick the students out. Like, what do you do with these? And I think maybe the class action lawsuits might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
If those lawsuits go forward and cause a lot of problems, then I wouldn't be surprised if USC did kick them out.
See, what I think they should do, since there's all this attention around it, because you know how much I love pay-per-view, make those kids take the SATs and the ACTs on pay-per-view. And then you can watch the answers live as they're coloring in the little box, and then you can see the real answer. So that you can go, nope, brilliant.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
That's my thought.
I mean, I've always had this fantasy of watching Trump take a citizenship test on live on TV. But, you know, I'll take Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, taking the SAT on camera. That'd do. That'd be next weekend.
All right, let's move along. We've all heard that Mike Pence won't be alone with women in a room. Evidently, there's some... So I guess Kamala Harris brought this up, and one of Pence's aides, a female, has come to his defense, like a shining, what would you call a woman, a knight? A knight?
Yeah.
A knight in shining armor on a white horse to defend Pence's honor.
Yeah, Mike Pence would probably not allow her to be a white knight in any kind of armor, but hey, you know, whatever. Mike Pence has this thing, and it wasn't even his philosophy. It was Billy Graham that came up with this, and it was basically that he won't be alone in a room, alone at a event that has alcohol with a woman. He won't go and eat alone with another woman. I don't know if it's that he won't drive, like be in a car alone with another woman. It's basically just he doesn't want to be alone with women. Which a lot of people have said, you know, this sounds like somebody who can't control themselves, not so much that they're fearful of what the women might say, which is really concerning. And I know that Kamala Harris, whenever she was talking about it, she was like, this really hurts, you know, women's opportunity. This is something where if you're not allowed to network with people because they're too afraid of being alone with a woman, you know, that penalizes the woman more than it does the idiot guy. So she just made sort of this comment in passing, and all of a sudden Mike Pence's press secretary came out and was like, he's given amazing opportunities to women and yada, yada, yada. And we're just like, dude, do you not know his legislative record? Do you know what he did in Indiana that really hurt people? This guy is not a friend of women.
No, the guy's bad. I mean,
he's not a friend to anybody.
Yeah, but I saw that. I'm like, wow, good for you. I wonder how much he paid you for it or how much his wife paid. Because I think, again, you know, the smart one behind all this is generally the woman. And I think that's what it is. I think the reason that he doesn't go anywhere without her is because maybe he doesn't want anybody to know just how dumb he really is.
Maybe she's whispering things in his ear the whole time, whispering the answers, telling people, you know, telling him who people are. I don't know.
What if she took his SATs?
Surprise.
I don't know. Let's move it along. Move it along. Evidently, Steve Mnuchin, Munchkin, might actually follow the law if Congress says they want Trump's tax returns. Is that a surpriser? And do you think Trump's now fuming over that?
The thing that I wonder, though, is what law is he going to follow? Because he could follow the law of when you're subpoenaed by Congress, you turn over the documents that you're subpoenaed for. Or he could follow the law of executive privilege. And he didn't clarify which was which. And so I was writing about it and I was like, well, you know, he said this. And then I thought after the fact, it's like, there's got to be a way he's going to squirm out of that.
There's a loophole.
Yeah, there's got to be a loophole because these people don't operate, you know, in the sort of just way that we expect government officials to operate.
Yeah, I saw. And now that you mentioned that, you know, you go, yeah, they're weaselly and slimy. I mean, I never thought of it going the other way. I just thought, well, you know what? If Congress, you know, says we want it, he will comply. Which again, you know, how many people? Wow. Yeah. Thanks.
He'll comply, you know, as soon as he can find a lawyer. If he can not find a lawyer who can get him out of it. I mean, he's going to try and go to every lawyer. That's why the White House is staffed up on people in the counsel's office, I think, to get out of a lot of these hearings and get away from a lot of the questions that Congress has to ask.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about Utah Republican Rob Bishop. Evidently, the Green New Deal is genocide. Genocide!
The dude doesn't even... he can't possibly know what genocide is, right? I mean, there's no real sensible reason that you come up with that as a way to say it. And then he sort of immediately walked it back in the same sentence, I will say. And he was like, you know, maybe that's a little bit too far, but not by much. And it's like, what, like genocide light? Come on. Like, it's only going to kill...
half of that
people instead of a million, right? But what's interesting about it is there are all of these figures from the National Medical Association and the World Health Organization about how climate change is really going to kill a lot of people. We're not just talking about famine. We're not just talking about severe weather, hurricanes, tornadoes, all of that stuff. There's actually a thing about there being more diseases because you're a lot of those things, like things that freeze, you know, and that if there's a deep freeze in Oklahoma, for example, a lot of times you don't have to treat your houses for termites as much. That sort of happens with diseases too, where, you know, you have all of these parasites or more mosquitoes. And so Zika and all this other stuff, like it's a real health crisis. And if you don't have, you know, a weather system that evolves and it just stays warm all the time, then you're going to end up with all of these crazy bugs that are going to give us all diseases.
Yeah, no, I when it was really, really stinking cold here, I was like, you know, the kids were like, it's just so cold. I go, let it be really, really cold for a couple more days. Because maybe we kill off some of the viruses and some of these bugs and, you know, get rid of some of these nuisance. And they're like, no, I want it warmer now. And it reminded me of the old Drew Carey skit. Who was, you know, he's outside, walks outside with a can of aerosol going, screw the grandkids, I'm cold now. you know, so, you know, it kind of made me think of that because, you know, I don't like being cold, but I don't like being hot either.
Yeah. And honestly, I was in Colorado a couple of weeks ago and you're starting to see this in the mountains where there's some kind of creepy beetle that eats pine trees. And it used to be that up the mountain, it would get so cold and snow so much that it wasn't a problem. They couldn't live. They would die and they would stay further down on the mountain and eat all of those trees. Well, now, because of climate change, the beetles are slowly climbing up the mountain. So you have like whole faces of a mountain that's been completely decimated where all the trees are dead now because of these stupid beetles.
Well, they're hungry.
Right.
So what do you introduce to kill those? Since we evidently, because we're not going away from drill, baby, drill. We're not going away from burning fossil fuel. We're just not. And, you know, the more that you have idiots like this Bishop, you know, saying, you know, it's genocide, the more I'm going to have to deal with people that I know going, it's all a hoax. Donald Trump said so.
The interesting thing is I also read a story about Gary Cohn today for whenever he was on Trump's Economic Advisory Council. He tried to explain to the president that there are actually more jobs available for Americans in green technologies, in green energy, way more than, say, coal. He said that for every 250,000 jobs in green energy, there's only something like 40,000 in the coal industry. And Trump was like, I don't care. So this idea of penalizing green energy is actually costing Americans jobs. And Trump tries to pretend like he's the jobs president. So what is he doing? He's just lying to all of us about it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just crazy, crazy. Let's finish up on Michael Cohen. Michael.
Bless his heart.
I had to chuckle because I'm not a country music fan by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not a Garth Brooks fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I know the song is not Friends in High Places.
Exactly. And honestly, the only reason I know this is because Garth Brooks is from my hometown. So I have all this weird sort of Garth Brooks history. And I knew the song to begin with, but they tried to say that, you know, whenever they sent this email to Michael Cohen about, don't worry, you've got friends in high places, They excused it away by saying, well, you know, we weren't dangling a pardon in front of him. We were just quoting song lyrics from Garth Brooks to make him feel better. Like, no, you weren't. I mean, that's not the song lyrics. Second of all, that's not even what the song is about. Like, this is a really sort of sketchy, crappy song about some asshat who goes into somebody's wedding and, like, crashes the wedding, right?
Right.
Like, this is not a really positive song that you want to use to encourage somebody with. I mean, for that, like, let's choose something, you know, a little bit like, I don't know, Springsteen or whatever.
I got to wonder if someone was charged for them dreaming up that lie. I mean, because someone had to sit down and go, hey, we've got to come up with, we've got to have a, you know, plausible deniability. We've got to come up with a statement. Yes, yes, the song, yes. How do you come to that?
It's like a whole round table, conference table full of lawyers, and like some intern who's bringing the coffee in is like, well, you know what you could do? And they're like, genius, you know? It's probably the lowly little guy who doesn't even get paid very well, who is like, well, you could do this. And they're like, oh, yes, brilliant. But it was a dumb idea.
It was absolutely a dumb idea. So do you think Cohen's going to share a cell with Manafort?
Probably not. I think Cohen is going to be in probably more upstate New York, and Manafort's going to be in Maryland, I think, in a you know, white collar, just kind of crappy resort prison. So we'll see.
Yeah, I back to the pay-per-view thing. I would love to have a camera in Manafort's cell. We could put that on pay-per-view.
Yeah, for real. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be sweet.
There you go. Sarah, always fun talking with you. Appreciate the work you do. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, and thanks for being awesome.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work at Raw Story. She does fantastic work there. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.